We'd like you to turn in God's Word to the Psalms today, the Psalm number 56, the Psalm number 56. And if you have a Bible, before you turn to this Psalm 56 as we read it together, and you will see in this Psalm 56 there is a title, "To the Chief Musician upon Jonathan, Rechokim, Mictam of David." And then it says, "When the Philistines took him in Gath." And you can read for yourself in 1 Samuel 21, the verses 10 to 15, the background to this psalm, "When the Philistines took David in Gath." And we mention that in our introduction to the message. But in this Psalm 56, David says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Amen. And again, God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now, as we've mentioned in the title of this psalm, it is revealed to us that the particular circumstances in the life of David, which the psalm has reference to, was when the Philistines took him in Gath. And in 1 Samuel 21, the verses 10 to 15, we are given some of the details of David among the Philistines. David was fleeing from Saul, and he fled to Achish, the king of Gath. The servants of the king of Gath pointed out that this was David, of whom they had sang that while Saul had slain his thousands, David had slain his 10,000s. And the woman of Israel had sang those words when David had slain Goliath, who was the Philistine champion from Gath. You can check that out in 1 Samuel 18, verse 7, and 1 Samuel 17, and verse 23. But David was afraid of Achish, the king of Gath, when these words were spoken by his servants. David pretended that he was mad, and he escaped to the cave of Adullam. And the Psalm 56 related to this time in the life of David. You'll discover Psalm 34 is also related to this time, as the title reveals when David changed his behaviour before Abimelech, who is the same person as Achish. As we come to consider this psalm, really its theme is trusting God in times of fear. David had genuine fears, but he trusted God in such times. The words of David in the verse 3 of this Psalm 56 really summarize the message of the psalm. When David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And taking this verse as our text, we want to consider the message of this psalm. Trusting God in times of fear. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. We want, therefore, first of all, to consider David's fears. The very fact that David says in verse 3, "What time I am afraid," leaves us in no doubt that David was acknowledging that, like us all, he had his fears in the varied circumstances of life which came across his pathway. And as we go down the psalm, David outlines the reasons why there were fears in his heart. At the very beginning of the psalm, he said that man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. David was being fought against. He was being oppressed by those whom he described as his enemies. Saul was against him, and the Philistines were against him. We can say that he was afraid because of the multitude of his enemies. In verse 2, he declared that they be many that fight against me. Many who fought against him. And of course, by way of application for you as a child of God, a saved sinner, there are many people. There are many circumstances which may bring fear to your heart. When we consider the devil and the powers of darkness against whom we wrestle in the great spiritual warfare, there are times of fear. David was not only afraid because of the multitude of his enemies, he was afraid because of the fierceness of his enemies. In verse 1, he pointed out, man would swallow me up. In verse 2, mine enemies would daily swallow me up. In verse 5, he talks about them resting or twisting his words to make them mean what he did not intend. He speaks of their thoughts, all their thoughts in verse 5, being against him for evil. In verse 6, he speaks of his enemies gathering themselves together, hiding themselves, marking his steps, waiting for his soul. It was his life they were after. David was also afraid, we might say, because of the constant opposition of the enemy. In verses 1 and 2, he used the word daily. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. And then in verse 5, he said, every day they rest my words. It was constant opposition. There was no let up to the pressure. And so from the human perspective, David had many reasons to have fears. And we may seek to draw parallels in our own experiences. There are circumstances that come into your lives on a daily basis. Maybe connected with an illness. Maybe connected with finances. Maybe in connection with people who oppose the cause of the gospel. There are situations such as is going on throughout the world at this time, which are out of our control. And these matters may cause fears to arise within us. What time I am afraid. Now, if you're saved, if your trust is in Christ for salvation, well, you have someone to go to with those fears. Of course, you can share them with other believers. Ask for their prayers, but you can take them to the Lord in prayer. If you're not saved, you should fear for your soul and its eternal well-being. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 10 and verse 28 said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." David had fears. You may have fears, but there is one you can take those fears too. And if you rightly fear the great eternity and are out of Christ, you need to come to the Lord and call on him for salvation. Trust in what he has done by his life, by his bloodshedding, sufferings and death and resurrection. Trust in what he has accomplished for your salvation. And then you need not fear death. You need not fear the great eternity. And for the child of God, yes, we may have fears about other things in life. But let us take those fears to the Lord. Let us be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let us make our requests known unto the Lord. But moving on from David's fears, we consider David's faith. It really this divides up the whole psalm there. David's fears, and there David's for you. This divides up our text. One time I am afraid, David says, I will trust in thee. Now obviously the word trust has to do with fear, with having confidence in someone. So David was saying that when he was afraid, he would keep trusting in the Lord, the one he had trusted for salvation. He would look to the Lord with confidence as the one greater than his fears, and the one who could deal with the people and circumstances which caused his fears. David's faith was evident in his prayer. In this psalm he was praying. He was bringing his fears to God and asking God to intervene. He begins the psalm with a petition. Be merciful unto me, O God. When we come to the throne of grace in prayer, do we not come to obtain mercy? He set before the Lord the oppression of his enemies. He prayed to the Most High as he addressed God in verse 2. In verse 7, he asked God in prayer in his anger to cast down the people who rose up against him. In verse 8, he asked God to put his tears into his bottle. He had faith and confidence in God's care and compassion, as well as his power and protection. In verse 9, he had confidence that when he cried to God, his enemies would turn back, for he knew that God was for him. And in verse 13, his petitions and prayer concluded with him asking God to deliver his feet from falling, that he might walk before God in the light of the living. He wanted to be kept close to the Lord. He wanted to walk in obedience to the Lord. And are we not reminded, if we're saved, that our faith is increased as we pray? And prayer is also an evidence of our faith in Christ. We must come in prayer to the Lord, of course, first of all, as sinners, asking for forgiveness and salvation, to be brought into that relationship with the Lord. Like the publican in the temple praying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. You know, in Acts 9, in the verse 11, when the Lord was sending Ananias to Saul of Tarsus in Damascus, the Lord said, for behold, he prayeth. That was an evidence that Saul of Tarsus had been changed, had been saved, had placed his faith in Christ for salvation. David's faith was evident in his prayers. Is your faith evident by your prayer life? Oh, people can recite prayers or say prayers, but you know, true prayer is when we first of all come as sinners asking God for salvation. And from then on, prayer is the Christian's vital breath. David's faith was also evident in his praise in this psalm. In the verse 4 of this psalm 56, David said, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. And again in the verse 10, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. You see, when our faith is in the true God, we will have confidence in his word. We will praise him for his word as we see his word having been fulfilled and continuing to be fulfilled, even in our own experiences. You know, in another one of the Psalms, the Psalm 119, we read of the psalmist speaking of hoping in the word of God. Psalm 119 and the verse 49. Remember, he's praying to the Lord. He's saying, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope, or put my faith in, or put my confidence in. If our faith is in the true God, we will have faith in his word. And in this same Psalm 119, down in verse 81, the psalmist said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I hope in thy word. I trust in thy word. I have confidence in thy word. Verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. If we take God at his word, if our faith is in him and in his word, well, we'll step out first of all as sinners. We'll step out in the promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We will take Christ and his word when he said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then when we're saved, that our faith might grow, we need to continue to be in the word of God. And praise God for his word. Meditate upon it. Pray over it, that we might be strengthened. You know, David, as we draw our message to a conclusion in this Psalm 56, you will see in the verses 12 and 13 that he gives further reason for his praises to God. He says in verse 12, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. I will render praises unto thee. Let me ask you in conclusion, have you faith in the true God? Have you your faith in Christ for salvation? And in the midst of the fears you may face in life, even when you are saved, is your faith being increased? As you meditate on God's word, as you pray over it, as you praise his holy name. May God again be pleased to bless his word to your hearts, and we thank you for listening.